Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm actor, writer, podcaster and comedian Brett Goldstein. If you're a film and TV superfan, subscribe to the Watch Less podcast with Cal and Fraser, and check out Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus and Soulmates on AMC.
Welcome back to Watch Less, Complex's podcast about movie and TV culture. My name is Cal, deputy editor of Complex's Pop Culture Channel, and as always, the summer man Fraser Tharp is in the building.
Yes, sir.
You good, man? You
elsewhere in my building.
Different location.
Echoey lounge.
What is that? Who did you paint that before you got on the podcast, my guy?
Looks like a kid just splattered that on the wall.
So you did paint it. No, I'm just kidding. This week we have a great conversation this week from a person you may not be too familiar with name wise,
but you will be.
Brett Goldstein, actor, writer, comedian, podcaster. He has a podcast, Films to Be Buried With. He stars in Apple TV Plus's Ted Lasso, the Jason Sudeikis football TV series, which is, you know,
football.
It's been getting a lot of acclaim, and, you know, for good reason, you know, in watching the show.
Well, the acclaim is always, you know, it's people kind of like surprised that a TV show spinoff of a commercial character is so great. Especially. But I think it speaks to how, like, you know, we've grown so cynical, especially in our comedy.
Yeah.
That people are just genuinely surprised to see the humor that the creator Bill Lawrence, who's done Scrubs, of course, and Cougar Town, which is definitely a Frasier show.
Yes.
But
yes.
I think people are always just so surprised to see like a heartwarming comedy that isn't, as we talked about with Brett, like cheesy.
Right, right. We get into a lot of that. We get into his upcoming AMC series Soulmates, which premieres in October and already has a second season. But we get into a lot. You know, we talk about his podcast as well. Conversations about, you know, how he's getting into character for things. There's a lot in this podcast. I don't want to bore you with it because you're about to hear the shit anyway after this quick break.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and t-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is going to be an interesting week. Normally, we're talking to a lot of guests at right before something comes out. And I mean, and for instance, we have something with Brett that will be coming out very soon. But we're in an instance right now where the show that he's currently on, writing and acting on, Ted Lasso, has been getting a lot of positive acclaim. I think I didn't even realize it had dropped, but I heard so many people in the timeline talking about the show. And, you know, when you check out the show, it's a Jason Sudeikis character that you've seen before, but I don't think I was ready for what Ted Lasso actually is in the roots of it. So it's great to have Brett Goldstein on the podcast as well again. But before we even get into that, he also, there was a lot of news recently about an upcoming anthology series for AMC. The first anthology series that AMC is doing, that Brett has helped create, it's called Soulmates. If you're fans of Black Mirror or things that are a little twisted, you're gonna dig this. Again, we'll get into that. We can't get too heavy into that because that's not even set to come out until October. So shouts out to us for giving you this news early. I did also want to say fans of Catherine Tate, aka Nellie, from, you know, some of the later seasons of the U.S. edition of The Office, Brett did work with her. Brett did a lot of work with her. Again, if you're fans of UK cinema, and I hate saying that, but I don't think Super Bob made it to America. This is Bob. This is Bob right here. Brett Goldstein, thank you for joining the Watch Less podcast.
Welcome.
I mean, thank you for having me. You've done your homework, and for that, I am.
And I totally forgot. He's also a podcaster. He runs his own podcast, Films to Be Buried With. We're going to talk about all of this. Brett, you're in the UK. How has quarantine been treating you?
At the end of the day, I'm very, very lucky. And I know that it's been very difficult for a lot of people. I have been in my place where I live, and I've had to write. I've had to write season two. I've been writing season two of Soulmates and season two. I'm in the writer's room at night for Ted Lasso season two. Oh. So I've just been working all the time. So I've kind of been very lucky and fine, and I mustn't complain. But being in your house all the time does make you see how fucking mad you are. Can I swear on this?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to talk to you two. I mean, I know we've got to talk about this stuff, but I listened to two of your episodes this week, and they were from a few weeks back. And the first was Giancarlo Esposito.
Right. It was amazing, right?
I mean, I want him to be president. I could have listened to him talk. It was amazing.
It's one of those things where, like, it's Giancarlo Esposito, so you know you're going to get a good conversation. But I don't think Fraser and myself were really ready for, you know, what he... And again, it wasn't just like he had points that he wanted to make. He was very engaging. I don't know. One of my favorite interviews. Again, we haven't finished this one yet, so we'll see.
I know, but I shouldn't have listened to it because it made me go, oh, fuck, that's so much pressure. How the hell am I going to top that? But no swearing.
You can
no, definitely swear.
Keep swearing. Keep swearing. Right, there's some jokes in Ted Lasso I want to talk about that we have to at least get a little dirty. So yeah, let's get to it.
Okay, good. The second episode that I listened to, this is what I was really excited to talk to you about, is it was, I think, in April, and one of you had just started watching Twin Peaks for the first time.
That was me. Yeah.
Did you finish? I want to know everything about your thoughts on it.
I love it. Unfortunately, since April, work has gotten... Again, I have Brett Goldstein problems. There's been so much work going on. I haven't gotten to it. And again, it's like, at the beginning of quarantine, I was like, yeah, I want to watch stuff, da-da-da-da. Yeah. And then that trails off. And then you have to watch screeners. There's movies that are coming out. So it's. I want to get back to it. I'm getting over the hump of a lot of that stuff. So my hope is that by the middle of September... Around the time this podcast is already out, I think, you know, I should be back on my quarantine viewing properly. Okay.
You're gonna have to message me. And Fraser, did you watch The Return? Did you watch season three?
I didn't do The Return yet. I'm slacking.
Me too.
I'm sorry. It's too much
TV. I heard The Return is like mind-boggling, though, so I really want to sit with it. It's the same thing, though. Like, it's back in spring, we all felt like we would have so much time.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be watching so many things that I slacked on.
Right, no, 100%. 100%.
Just The Sopranos.
You're finally living up to the name of your podcast.
That's amazing. Well, but again, you know, we have good problems because we have to take in shows like Ted Lasso. Again, it's a show about Jason Sudeikis being American who doesn't know anything about football. Coaching a Premier League team is hilarious, but the undercurrent of that show, there's a lot of like relationship stuff. There's a lot of, you know, real personal connection stuff that I think is as important, if not a little bit more. Like, you know, your third episode where we get to see you playing Roy really, you know, turn the corner. I mean, because again, I noticed some of that in Soulmates too, because you wrote the pilot for that as well. So is that a passion of yours? Like, you know, taking a premise and then, you know, kind of trying to slide into a lot of the more dramatic, more relationship type stuff?
Yeah. The relationship stuff for sure is my sweet spot and is the stuff I'm interested in, because it's where I don't know. I always think, you know, when you think, well, everyone must be like this because I'm like this. I don't know if everyone's like this. But when I watch something, if I'm struggling to get into it, as soon as there's like an emotional relationship within it, I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, that's always... And often when I'm writing stuff, if I'm ever stuck, I'm like, why isn't this working? I'm like, oh, yeah, because no one cares about anyone in it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to... Because that's the stuff, isn't it? That's all that life is, really.
No, I mean, Fraser and I were just having that conversation the other day about characters in the show and your amount of caring about them, especially, you know, in terms of, like, you know, life or death, because, you know, you're not given those nuggets of information and intrigue and melodrama into, you know, their personal life. It can make things difficult.
You got to be invested.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, I think that's also probably a great highlight of working with Bill Lawrence, I'd imagine, right? I think most of his shows have a heavy dose of sentimentality that you really don't get elsewhere, especially in American sitcoms these days.
Right.
It's true. And it's like, I was thinking about that, like, when I'm such a huge fan of Scrubs and stuff, and you watch it and it will make you cry every single week. And there's sort of, it's quite special how he does it, because I think in the wrong hands, it's just cheesy. It would just be cheesy and shit. But I think because it comes ultimately, I think, and I think this is the same with Ted Lasso, I think that both Jason and Bill mean it. Mm-hmm. Like, it isn't a trick. It isn't, I don't know. I really hate using this word because it's overused, but it isn't inauthentic. I think they really mean the thing that it is. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it isn't cheesy, because it isn't fake. It isn't like, oh, this will work. This will make them cry, you know. Even though it is quite a little bit heightened and very lovely, you know, it's they also mean it. It isn't. It comes from truthful heart place. Truthful heart place.
There you go. That's the name of the episode. Truthful heart place.
Speaking of Scrubs, I noticed you guys also had Zach Braff himself behind the camera for a couple of Ted Lasso episodes. That's crazy.
That's right. And as a massive Scrubs fan, I think we were all massive Scrubs fans. I don't know if he knew this, but we were all quite intimidated. And I know you shouldn't be, but like, I remember the first read-through of Ted Lasso, suddenly I looked across and there was fucking JD, and I was like, oh, shit, JD's here. But he was great. He's so good.
Yeah. It's good to see, you know, you be able to operate with people that, you know, you're influenced by and have taken inspiration from. I wanted to talk, you know, actually today, the one episode that I believe is solely credited to you as a writer, Tan Lines, was released. Big, big episode about Ted and his wife and his family. Have you had people that have had relationships like that before? Like, where do you draw, you know, those types of situations from?
I mean, I think it's just everyone. Part of the thing is I'm really bad at small talk. So I don't know how to ask people that. How's the weather? I'll straight go to, are you feeling depressed? Are you, did something happen with your father? That sort of thing. That's me doing chit chat at a cashier, at a till. So it's partly just, I guess, being interested in that stuff and asking people and watching, and from my own family and my own life and whatever. But also, I tell you, I think I can say this, like, part of where that episode came from, my original pitch for it was, that you can look it up on YouTube. There's Tottenham Hotspur, who are my football team, who in the original adverts, Jason, Coach Lasso, was with Tottenham. Mm. And there's a player called Lucas Moura, who I love. And there was a thing that happened, and I basically put a story on it. I don't know if it was true, but this was the image. It was very moving, where at the end of a game, Lucas Moura, he'd been there, I don't know how long, a year, 2 years, and he was meant to be great, but he was taking his time to fit in. Mm-hmm. And then one day he scored a hat trick and it was like amazing and he was a hero. And at the end of the game, he walked to the stands where the crowd were and he just stood there with the ball, like sort of posing. And the commentators were like going, oh, what's he doing? Like making a power pose. But he stood there for ages and you were like, what's going on? What's going on? And then eventually through the crowd, his wife and baby were like coming through the crowd.
Oh, wow.
And she handed him his baby and his little boy, who was like a toddler with a dummy in. And he brought him on the pitch and put a ball in front of him. And the crowd, the Tottenham crowd, were like, oh, and the kids kicked the ball and went, yay! But like, seeing that was kind of, I showed that to the writer's room and said last time, I was like, to me, the story I had given to this Lucas Moura scene, which may or may not be true, but I was like, he's not from England. He's come over here struggling to fit in. Perhaps it's difficult with his wife, with his child. Mm-hmm. You know, he's sort of like, we've made this big deal. And then finally in this big game, he's home. He's made it. He belongs here. And he brings his family into it. And it was just incredibly moving. But like I say, I might be insane. I have no idea if that was the truth.
Hey, look, you know what? Even if it wasn't the truth, you were able to take that and make something on Apple Hell TV yeah. Plus. Like, you know, that's the beautiful story. But you meant so. I mean, hearing that actually leads me to another question, because I'm assuming you're a big fan of football. It sounds like you're invested into it. Was there someone that you were pattering Roy Kent off specifically?
Well, funnily enough, like, obviously there's a guy called Roy Keane that yeah. people keep saying I'm based on, but he's not. I based Roy Kent on Bill Sykes from Oliver Twist. You know Bill Sykes, he walks around with the duck, bullseye! I was like, he's Bill Sykes if Bill Sykes wasn't a wife beater.
Wow, that's crazy.
I got to give you props for that performance. Yeah. That is like one of the great... just dry, gruff one-liner.
Well, I really appreciate
shots
that.
Of energy that come in there.
No, it's good.
Thanks
it's,
so much.
It's
even when it's not a big that not a big Roy episode, you just get like a good right. fuck off terse. Right.
Yeah. Pop in, fuck off, walk out.
There was this what in the pilot. The initial conversation between right as the old coach is getting canned. There's a moment where you know, she mentions that his shorts are so short that one of his nuts are hanging out. And then she's like, oh, and there's the other one. And she says, Liam and Noel. And what was the next line? It's not a bit of an oasis or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Liam and Noel, but not quite.
But it's
an
not
oasis.
An oasis.
who wrote that? Where did that line come from? Did you have any influence on that line? I love that line.
You know what? Truthfully, I think that the pilot, when the writers came on board, Joe Kelly, Brendan Hunt, Bill Lawrence, and Jason had written the pilot. The pilot always existed. Yep. And then we came on and went on with the show from there. So I believe that was always in it.
Damn.
And it was, yeah. What I think that line came from the Americans.
How did you come to the show? Were you writer first or actor?
So I had acted for Bill Lawrence. I'd done a pilot with him, I don't know now, like 3 years ago. And it was a really good pilot, but it never got picked up. And to this day, I don't know why. It was one of them ones where I remember everyone coming off set from finishing the pilot, and everyone was like, see you in August. Like, this is definitely happening. And I was like, yeah, I'll move to America because I'm making this show. And then it didn't get picked up. But me and Bill stayed in touch, and we became friends. And then he kind of called me up out of the... literally out of the blue, and he said, oh, I'm working on this show with Jason Sudeikis. I think you'd be perfect. Do you want to come and join the writer's room? And I was like, what? It was literally out of nowhere. I was like, I'm quite, so what? And then he said, I'll set you up on FaceTime with Jason, see if you two get on. And so me and Jason had a FaceTime. It was like 1 a.m. my time. And it was really, I mean, maybe this all sounds too soft, but it was really nice. And we talked for like an hour and a half. And at one point, the connection went away after like an hour 20. And then he called back. And my girlfriend had been upstairs the whole time. And I came upstairs and she said, you two are in love. So he was nice with it. We really, really got on. And then they asked me to come do it, which was great. So I flew out to LA and I did the writer's room. And Bill had always said to me, you know, I know you as an actor, if there's you being a writer on it doesn't mean you're not going to be an actor, but at the moment there's no part or whatever. Anyway, while we were writing it, I secretly thought I could do Roy. I thought I really get this character, but I also knew that it was not the sort of thing I am known for.
Right.
And if you've seen, I'm sure you haven't, but if you've seen Superbob, like Superbob is a very sweet, very soft character, and that's kind of more the sort of parts I had been playing.
Right.
So I didn't want to say to anyone, oh, I think I could do Roy, because I thought they'd just be embarrassed and be like, I don't think so. And so on my last day in the writer's room, when we finished the scripts, I left. I had to go back to England, but on the night before, I made a self-tape, just made a tape on my own of Roy Kent, like 5 scenes, and I emailed it to Bill, and I said, look, if this is embarrassing and you feel uncomfortable and this is awful, please pretend you never got this email. I'll never mention it. Totally happy pretending you never got it. But I think I could play Roy, and here's an audition or whatever. You know, and I didn't get a job. And so I had to make a threat. No. And then he sent me a message like 3 in the morning saying, brilliant. And then blah, blah, blah. Very, very lucky and grateful. But that's how that happened.
That's awesome.
Dang, now you're pulling double duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it also happened. Yeah, so while that was, this is, I mean, look, I literally am the luckiest man in the world and I cannot complain. But it is mad how this all happens at once.
Yeah.
Because for years and years, I was just trying to make stuff, and you get to a point where you think, well, this is never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sort of think, well, I really had that moment last year. I'd come out for pilot season again. We'd been developing this show Soulmates for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it's never going to get greenlit. We'd actually been developing it for 6 years, but for 3 years with AMC.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like that's never going to happen. I had loads of things like that. And, you know, I was kind of making a living, but nothing was really getting picked up. And I remember having a moment of like, oh, well, I guess it's never going to happen. And I'm going to make peace with that and just have a nice life and do bits of Bob's script edit where I can, help people out, whatever, and that'll be okay. And then I get the phone call from Bill, and then mid Ted Lasso, I get the phone call from AMC saying we've got the green light. And I was like, fuck.
That's amazing. It's because I had a similar story. I remember I was writing. I had just turned 30 and I was like, I'd made a little, you know, supplemental mm-hmm. income. I could buy some hats, some shirts, whatever, but it wasn't anything big. Yeah. And I told myself, I was like, by the time I turn 31, if something doesn't happen, you know, it's customer service for the rest of my life, whatever the hell I was doing. And that summer there was a job opening and I ended up going through the process and getting, and 8 years later, I'm still at Complex. I mean, it sounds crazy, but that's how it happens sometimes though. It's just that one moment and then everything starts coming in and then has your life changed a lot though? I mean, you know, last year you didn't have, you know, Apple and AMC, you know, picking up and officially putting out your shows.
Yeah, my life has changed in that I literally have no hours in the day to spend with loved ones. Right. And I'm delighted.
that's doing wonders for your mental health,
It's a hell
worked
of a,
out perfectly.
Yeah. All my dreams come true. I get to avoid family. I get to avoid friends. Perfect. I don't have time for anything.
Become a sad, depressed person in my room. That's the dream. That's the dream. No, but I mean, I will say I was just looking. It seems like both of these shows got very quick renewals. I think it was maybe 5 days after it premiered that Ted Lasso got season two. And nobody's we've seen Soulmates, but I watched
the first two.
I've seen the first episode. Again, have to make sure that we know what the hell we're talking about. But, you know, that they must have high hopes if that's already got that renewal before, you know, the public's even gotten real wind of it.
Yeah, I think that was very nice that they picked it up. But I also think it's practical as well in terms of if they want it to be ready, season two to be ready at the same time next year.
Right.
We have to get on with it. So they kind of had to make a decision before it aired in this case.
But because both of these renewals have happened during, you know, this crazy time in the world, can you talk a little bit about the changes to, like, you know, how have you adjusted the writers' rooms on, you know, Zoom and how are there, what are the plans for shooting a season two of Ted and Soulmates, you know, going forward now that there's new protocols, I'm assuming.
So. Yeah, actually, that's a great question too, specific to Soulmates, because I've been reading about a lot of different practices where writers are being encouraged to write less intimate scenes or less crowd. And I got to imagine for Soulmates, that's a challenge.
That's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
We haven't done that. We haven't stopped the intimate scenes. What we have done is at first we were like, let's write. So this is me and Will Bridges, who we haven't named, but that is Will Bridges.
Will Bridges, who worked on both Black Mirror and Stranger Things.
Yes. So me and him together. So we, in the beginning of our season two chats, we were like, let's just, the sky's the limit. And then you sort of realize the sky isn't the limit because there's a coronavirus and we're not allowed certain things. So then it was like, actually, and I really like these sort of creative challenges is going, okay, instead of just starting with whatever idea we want, let's start with the limit and then write then come up with an amazing idea that fits that. So for example, trying to write some episodes that are contained, like one entirely set in a hotel, for example. So we start, that's literally the first thing is, what could we do in a hotel that would be really fucking interesting and cool? And if we can't come up with something, we move on. But it's like, so it's kind of working backwards. It's not how we used to work, but actually it's ended up being quite inspiring and creative. Like the hotel episode, I'm really excited. I think it's going to be fucking great. Like it was a cool limitation to put on.
Right.
And so it's things like that. So we've kind of written four that are manageable under any circumstances. And then we've written two that are like, if we can go really big and we're allowed to shoot in different countries and stuff like that, then we've got them. And if not, then we've got two that are half and half kind
of
thing.
Smart. It's good that it's an anthology, so you don't have to worry about continuing overarching things. These are so self-contained, that makes it a lot easier. It makes it a little easier for you guys, I would think.
Yeah, the only thing I'm sad about is I've just finished the script and there's a whole sequence in it set in a nightclub. And already what someone said, you know, I don't know you're going to be able to shoot. Like, it's a real, like, meant to be everyone on ecstasy, everyone high, sweaty, kind of all sexy nightclub stuff. And you're like, I don't want to lose that. I mean, we can do it in a house, sure, but it's not the same.
It's not the same, yeah. It makes me think, I immediately started thinking of that nightclub scene in season one of Killing Eve. And that was packed. You can't do that anymore. It's too messed up right now out there.
It's a real thing. And nightclubs on film always look shit if they're not packed.
Right, right. Yeah. You need everyone in there.
Unless it's the worst party.
Unless
it's
supposed to be trash.
I 6 years developing the show, working and working on the show. Can you talk about the origins of Soulmates? How was it an idea that you had? Was it something that Will came to you with? How'd that come about?
So the film Superbuff that you mentioned. So me and Will wrote that together with John Drever, who directed it. And while we were writing that film or in the shooting of it, we were just talking. We were both talking about how we like writing about relationships, and that's of interest to us. And then we were kind of like, how do you make a show? Like, what's a way of making a show that's entirely about relationships without it feeling shit? and then, I don't know, it quite kind of came out of a conversation about soulmates, and he's married and I'm not, and we have very different kind of relationship backgrounds and feelings of what's romantic and what isn't and all that. And then I just think we came up with the idea of what happens if there was a test, if science found the human soul and you could match a soulmate. And then, so from that idea, we made a short film, and the short film is really simple. And it was just me and Laura Haddock walking through London. I've given her some money. I've lent her some money. We're going. And as we're walking, you're learning, oh, they're on their way for her to take a test. You don't quite know what it is yet, blah, blah, blah. And as they're walking, you see that they're like best friends, and also that he's in love with her. And then they get to this clinic and she says, will you come in with me? And he says, no, I'll wait out here. And then you realize he's given her the money because he's hoping that her soulmate will be him. But I won't tell you what happens. But that was like, so it was just very simple, but it told you the world and the idea of it. Yeah. And then for 3 years we were developing it with the BBC.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm sure you know all this stuff. It's really boring, and I'm sorry if this is boring, but it's the fact that, like, what happens is, particularly in England, I'm sure it's in America, you go somewhere like the BBC, they go, hey, we love your thing, let's make it, great. And then the person who said, let's make it, leaves.
Right, right, yeah.
And then you're fucked. Then you get assigned someone who didn't choose the thing, who doesn't care about the thing, and you're just desperately trying to get out of there. And so I'm always, whenever anyone wants to option something, I'm always like, how long have you been in this job? Because if it's over a year, I'm like, forget it. That means you're leaving. If you've been there 3 months, I'm in.
But is your replacement here? Can I talk to them? Maybe we'll figure something out with them. No, it's not.
Is someone here on work experience? Because I figure they're sticking around. Can we do this?
So
it's like the Seinfeld when they're doing the pilot and George's girlfriend gets fired. I don't know if you're a Seinfeld.
That's great. But then again, this is another sort of mad. You go, you do all this work, you try all this stuff, and in the end, it comes down to sort of mad luck or whatever. Is that so? So 3 years into our waste. No disrespect to the BBC, huge fan, but it was a waste of time for this particular project. Will had gone out to LA to pitch a load of stuff, or just have like general meetings. You know, where you just go and talk shit with like a speed dating with execs.
Yeah.
And he was at AMC and he was talking about some ideas he had. And I believe the story goes that they like cut him off in the middle of all his chat. And they were like, yeah. We've seen this short film you've made about soulmates. And he went, oh, yeah. And they said, can we have that? Would you like, can we make that into a TV show? Wow. And he was like, oh, we're already making it a TV show, but with BBC, but our option was running out. And then he called me up and he was like, do you want to do it with AMC? I was like, fuck yeah. Yes. Please.
That's
please.
Crazy. Anything.
Yeah. So, but then we had a whole, which I don't think is unusual. No. 3 years of development.
6 years is crazy. Three years seems like it makes more sense. Was it always a thing where you guys wanted to make sure, because it was an anthology, to have a lot of familiar faces? You know, I mean, seeing Sarah Snook from Succession in episode one is
amazing.
She's not in enough, I don't think. So, you know, it's good to see, you know, have her really get to be in a full episode of something like this.
In a year where we're, you know, Succession super fans like me are being denied that season three, it was a good reprieve.
Oh, that's good. She's one of the best actors I've ever seen or worked with ever. She's something else. Like, something else I've learned as an actor and as a person making stuff, that really as an actor, screen actor, you have very little control over what ends up in the thing. You do lots of different things on set, and the shots or takes that are chosen might not have been the ones you would have chosen. And
right. You
just sort of have to trust, hopefully, the director, the editor, pick a good performance, do you know what I mean, and make a good thing.
Yeah.
And I know... But what I found with Sarah Snook is every single take was fucking magic. So it didn't matter. You could put it in any order, and it'll still be the greatest thing you've ever seen.
No, she was good.
The second episode has Dave Costabile.
Yeah. He's
probably one of the best character actors out right now.
Yeah, good. It was so exciting. We're very lucky. It was a very good cast.
Yeah, yeah.
Across the board.
I do want to say too, I mean, we're talking about Sarah, and I mean, I thought it was really great to see, without it even being a thing, but the fact that you guys chose to have an interracial couple, a married interracial couple with children like that. And again, the episode has nothing to do with race. None of that even comes into it. I want to thank you, whoever made those calls. Because again, you know, stuff like that is very important, you know, especially in genre work. Like, you know, you can see people of color in, you know, certain things because it's a thing that you would normally, an urban tale or whatever someone would call it. So, I think it was very important to the way you guys cast it, the pilot for Soulmates, for me personally.
Well, that's great. I appreciate that. That's really great. I mean, look, the whole series, I hope and believe, is very diverse, but we have a thing that we're like quite passionate about in terms of representation, and is that what we had found previously is that often you'll get someone, and this isn't AMC, by the way, this is in other places where they'll go, you've got it, like we had 10 ideas for the stories for the thing, and one of them was a gay character, and they said, you have to have a gay writer to write that gay character. And we were like, well, the thing is, this gay story, this gay is actually about a gay character. It's what it is a gay story, as in it's a story about coming out, and it's entirely thing. And we said, what we'd rather do is get a gay writer and say to them, what story do you want to tell? It doesn't have to be about coming out. It doesn't have to be about all the things that you usually have to write about it. Yeah. Like, I think it's very so reductive, this thing of going, and you've got a black writer, so they have to write a black issue episode. It's like, no, well, what's your love story? I want to hear what's your love story? Let's hear that one. What's the story you've been dying to tell? What's your action film? What's your any of it? It doesn't, because I think part of the issue with that is it means that basically everyone gets to write one script. Like, you go,
exactly, exactly.
You can write your story and then you're finished. It's like,
and in one window.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
So that's kind of that's why episode four, which we're really proud of, episode four is a gay writer, gay director, gay actor.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is a adventure romance, a bit like Romancing the Stone or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just and watching it, you go, in a way, there's something really exciting about it, because you go, you've seen this type of story before, but you haven't seen it with two men.
Right.
And it suddenly feels so fresh and kind of new. And you go, and it's just, you know.
I mean, it's a little more It's a little different because the show is a lot more about race, but you know, there are moments of that show, the new HBO series Lovecraft Country, that are like that, mm-hmm. where while it is, again, the premise is what the premise is, but you are able to get just pure action and adventure with black characters, and mm-hmm. and it have nothing to do with the issues of race. Yeah. That's the most important part of, you know, inclusion and diversity. We should get to the point where you don't notice it. It's just a thing because everybody's people.
And sometimes it is. Sometimes in the script it is about race. It is about gender. It is about sexuality. And that's fine. But it just shouldn't. I don't know. I don't want to make a hard and fast rule, but it should be like. No. But it can be whatever it wants to be. Like
right. 100%. Now I do want to move to films to be buried with, only because, you know, we were talking about Sarah earlier, and she was on the podcast. She forgot about Titanic. how do you forget about one of the biggest blockbusters ever?
She maybe tried to block it out. I don't know. It's very long, isn't it? Maybe there's only so much room in her brain.
It was two tapes. It was. I've never sat through the whole film, though. Honestly, it was two tapes. That's how old I am.
Titanic.
I definitely have seen the beginning with the old woman setting up the story. I've seen various shots of people dancing and, like, you know, avoiding each other. And then I've seen all of the chaos. That's what I wanted to see.
Oh, you've seen Leo on the bridge, too?
There was a commercial. I mean, I've seen, again, I mentioned The Office earlier. I've seen Michael Scott do that before. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a thing that, I guess that was a really fucking huge movie. It's hard to... It's hard to forget that film, but and also you also did an episode with the guy who plays Sam on Ted Lasso as well.
Yeah.
I like him on the show. I've never seen him in anything. I don't think he's got a really, really seems like a really charismatic, really, really personable person.
He's gonna be a massive star. Like, I'd put money on him now winning an Oscar in 3 years. It's gonna be huge.
Toheep Jimmo? Am I saying his name right?
You say it Toheep, but it's T-O-H-E-E-B.
Okay.
A-A-M-O-H.
So remember the name. I butchered it, but you guys remember the name. You know, this podcast lane is pretty crazy. I wonder, you know, with as a guy who has been doing a lot of writing and a lot of mm-hmm. acting and everything else, why did you say I'm gonna commit to, you know, talking to people about, you know, their favorite films, and where do you find the time to still, you know?
I mean, that's the question, isn't it? in the small gaps where I could see a loved one, where it's like the weekend, whacking a podcast, then you can. I mean, I started it, I don't know, maybe a year ago, year and a half, 2 years ago.
It's about two, I did 2018,
Right. And I don't know, it was just something I had in my head for a while, which is this idea of, I just thought it might be a cool idea, and then it turned out it sort of works well, which is asking people, they get to choose how they die. I tell them they've died, and then we discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. And it's half a conversation about death, and it's half a conversation about films. But what the real thing about it, and I genuinely didn't know this when I came up with it, it just is that actually it's quite revealing about people, in terms of people end up saying perhaps more than they would in a normal kind of interview, because they're talking about film, they're actually telling us about themselves. So I ask them, like, what's the film that scared you the most, or what's the film that made you cry the most? But really what you're talking about is what makes you cry and what are you scared of,
right?
I mean, like, so it's a real cheeky way of getting people to reveal more.
Just like a real fascinating way to, like, I don't want to say character study, but like really just trying to understand the human condition, you know?
Yeah, and where everyone's from and their background and what made them who they are. It's all tight. Look, you two more than anyone know, it's all, culture is everything in terms of your, it can define your identity, or at least guide you and all of that.
I'm still trying to figure out what films I'd be buried with. Yeah. I probably have a good two, but I can never make like a personal list of my favorite films. It feels like the hardest thing to do in life.
Yeah. I mean, you know mine, Cal.
Oh. Yeah, yours are Everything with the Mummy.
Definitely.
And
there we go.
And which Iron Man 3 is the one that you love?
That's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be buried with an Iron Man though.
I think if we're talking superhero, I'd be
buried with like a Tim Burton Batman maybe.
Yes, please.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. Do you have any favorite guests that you've had on the podcast previously, Brett?
Yeah, I had some. I've got favorite. I have a lot of my like comedian friends. So I'll name two that you might not have heard of, but there's James McNicholas and Camille Uchan, who are married but did it separately, and that's quite an interesting one to listen to.
Yeah,
one and then the other because they both talk about each other. But I did one with Sharon Stone, and that was incredible.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really. She was. I was so nervous. I was like,
yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and I thought it was on Zoom. I didn't know what it would be like, and she was amazing. She was so funny as well. Like really, really deep, but really like fun and like doing like an improv show with me. It was great. I loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. Are there any guests that you haven't had yet that you're like dream guests?
Dream guest, Michael Keaton.
Oh my god,
that'd be a good one. You could talk about Batman. I wonder if he would talk about Batman. I feel like I don't hear him talk enough about at least the first one anymore.
Yeah, well, he'll probably be sick of it because he's now got to talk about it a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he's supposed to be coming back. There's rumors that he's coming back.
He's going to be in the new Flash.
In the Flash, yep.
Flash multiverse. Gotcha. Flashpoint.
Do you keep up with a lot of that stuff? Are you a big superhero movie guy?
I sort of keep up. I do, because I love film, I guess I do keep up. I sort of tend to know roughly what's going on with everything in terms of all the superhero films. And I have made one myself, but I do a slightly... when it got to like Endgame, I thought, can we stop now then?
That's a lot. That's a lot. 10 years, 20-some films. Yeah, that's a lot.
You made your point. It was excellent.
Guys are good at this. You're really good at this. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing that I haven't watched a lot in lockdown, but I did. I watched two 70s movies that I should have watched, but I'd never. They were in like gaps in my film knowledge.
Right.
And one was Sorcerer, and one was The Conversation. Gene Hackman.
Conversation.
Yeah. And both of them were excellent, but they were so, I mean, I'm sure you know all this, but it's so interesting, like, how different 70s American cinema is, and how that those were mainstream films.
Yeah.
And how anti-government they were, and how anti-establishment, and how they were basically made by hippies and sort of had kind of subversive hearts. And I watched Harold and Maude as well, which is literally made by and you go, and then you compare that to today's sort of Hollywood, you know, they're all excellent films and really well made and stuff, but you go, but they are corporate. They are, they are not telling you to think a different way. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, they kind of go, like, here's a really, really, really well-made product.
It's content. It's not a film. You walk into the theater and you can smell the plastic being ripped off of the fresh content, fresh products coming out.
Not to mention if we even got a conversation today, it would probably just be squeezed out like on Netflix or somewhere. Like, big theatrical release.
Right.
And the ending
in between Godfathers.
That final scene in The Conversation is like, I'm like, you don't. Films can't end like this anymore.
No. You mentioned Harold and Maude. I've not seen Harold and Maude. It's been like 20 years. I watched it one night at a friend's house. I was blown away. What a film.
Yeah, crazy.
I was just in hearing you talk about film and realizing where you are. This is probably going to piss off Fraser if you answer a certain way. But have you gone to a theater to see Tenet yet?
Sunday night, I am going to the IMAX.
That's going to be amazing. What's the situation there?
You going in like bubble wrap, or did you like buy a row out?
Here's the bit I can't work out is that they say it's socially distant and stuff, but what they've done is they've just removed. So I've bought two seats and I looked on the seating map. It's two seats, then there's an empty seat, and then it's all seats. And it's basically just one seat between whatever group and them. That's not a lot. I mean, it's a pretty busy, it looks full. And then you're meant to wear a mask, but it also says you can eat and drink, take off your mask, eat and drink. I'm like, we're going to be in there for 3 hours. We're all going to die.
Right, yeah.
But It better be a fucking good film, because that might be it.
Frasier's been... The film was supposed to come out on Frasier's birthday, and when it got moved, and then to hear that shouts out to the Warner Brothers rep who I won't name, who gave me the call to let me know, don't be mad, the UK reviews are going to be dropping soon. You know, we're trying to figure, because you know, again, like she specifically said, you're going to be able to see it based off of your theater's availability. I live in New Jersey. Governor was like, we're not opening theater, so I don't know. If someone doesn't pass me like a bootleg or I don't get like a screener, I don't know when I'm going to see Tenet. I don't plan on hitting a theater anytime soon.
Even worse in New York.
I'm really sorry. I feel for you. And truthfully, I am scared. I mean, a part of me should we be going? Like, I really want to enjoy the film. I don't want to be sat during the film going, oh God, we're going to die. This is really dangerous.
Have you thought about what films you would be buried with? At least maybe like one film, if you had to pick it?
It would probably be Muppet Christmas Carol, which is...
That explains the poster.
Are you also in the TV as well?
Yeah, I sort of always feel bad about this. I just sound like a dickhead, but you can be like, I just don't have a lot of time. So I try... But I just don't have enough time. I did watch, because I was thinking you were going to ask me this. I was like, what the fuck have I watched? I watched all of Devs.
Okay.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I've been watching it. I didn't finish it.
It was okay. It's the look of that film, that show is so amazing. I wasn't ready for it. They nailed it. That first episode really nails the look and feel of that show.
Really great cast too.
Yeah, that was very impressive. I guess this is the other thing we should talk about then, is that I did watch Dave, which you guys in the previous episodes hate. I don't want to see, but I don't know if you've now seen it.
I haven't budged yet. I'm sure by the end of this year, I probably will have seen some of Dave. The thing is, I know it's probably good.
It's good. No,
you know,
there are good episodes of that show. There are good episodes of that show.
It's surprising. Like, I was really resistant to watching it. You know, I think I was in both of your camps in terms of, I don't want to see this.
Yeah.
But I was impressed. As it went on, there were a few episodes that are like really... bold and really like, oh wow, okay, that's like really well written and really interesting. And regardless of I fully get what your issue is, and I can't say either, you know, but it's some really interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, if you can get past Lil Dicky being Lil Dicky, because I mean, like moments where like Gata, you know, talks about you know his mental health and like you can look on that clip is on YouTube, and I mean I need to talk to him because I haven't heard him or read an interview where he's talked in depth. I need to know if that would like how real, you know, the breaking of emotion. It felt like it was naturally happening. You know, it's great. And again, I mean, you can't deny FX. You mentioned Devs. You mentioned Dave. You know, Pamela Adlon and Better Things. Like that's one of our favorite networks. So I give him slack. I'll cut him some slack. But you know, he did a lot of things to. You know, prosthetic body parts sitting in his closet that, you know, whole episodes of that, I have to really be, I have to be in the right mind frame and B, or A, I'm in the right mind frame, B, I have to make sure nobody else is around. So, you know, they're not walking in.
That episode was properly shocking. And again, that is why I kind of thought, well, fair enough. I've not seen this on TV.
Right,
I've not seen a man have sex with prosthetic legs.
Like, it was a
fair play. I've never seen that.
It was like, but like you said, you have to get through that stuff to again appreciate like the actual relationship conversation that happens in that show. Because you're a writer, do you like how much do you look at scripts? Like, do you is one of your when you have free time? Are you like you know grabbing like scripts from films that you really like and just like going through and like highlighting? Or are there any favorites favorite scripts? No.
No, I try to read books if I'm like on holiday, I'll try and read a shitload of books, not scripts. But I probably should read more scripts. But I watch the films. Like I've seen it.
There you go.
But I know that Will Bridges, my co-writer, co-creator, etc. He does read a lot of scripts.
Nice.
I think that's the thing. But also we part of the job is we read a lot of scripts, as in we get for writers and stuff, we're reading scripts a lot. So I try and read books as well to have some breadth of something, so you just don't go too insular and just go like, oh yeah. In text.
Roy Kent got handed a copy of A Wrinkle in Time, and have you read that? Did you actually take that home?
I read that between that whole episode, like between takes. I was trying to get through it. If you see where I marked it out, like where Roy is reading it at certain points, because there was funny things. I mean, it's proper like hardcore Easter egg shit. You can see the page number that Roy's on and what's going on in that.
Oh,
page.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I have to go back.
I don't think you'll see it. That's some real bullshit method stuff going on that no one cares.
I'll say this. If you're a fan of the Watch Less podcast and you watch Ted Lasso, the first person to give me those screen grabs, we'll do something. I don't know what it'll be, but we'll figure something out. I want to see who's out there paying attention. Brett, outside of, you know, season twos of shows that haven't even, you know, premiered yet at this point, you know, do you have anything else that's in the works? Any other things you're writing that are going to be coming out anytime soon?
No, I have a few things in development.
There you go.
Such is the term. But truthfully, there's not much time for any of them. So don't tell the producers that. But so there's.
Brett can do anything, guys. Don't listen to any of that.
It like? Both shows are kind of premiering around the same time. You're working on season two at the same time. What is it like for Brett Goldstein to live in a very funny, very heartwarming world like Ted Lasso, and then switch to a soul-crushing, soul-bearing world of soulmates.
Soul-crushing soulmates. That's funny. That's a good tagline for it. Soul-crushing. Coming soon. It will crush your soul. It's quite, like, I don't want to sound like a dickhead, but, like, truthfully, like, they're both, I live in both worlds, as in they're just part of the same. I keep thinking of it like, I don't want this to sound pretentious, but it's like there's all your thoughts and things, and it's just kind of dialing down some bits and turning up other bits and dialing down. So Ted Lasso and Soulmates, although they are very, very different, it's sort of dials, or like, as in the Ted Lasso thing, the heart, the jokes, the everything's turned up, and then that's dialed down more with Soulmates. But Soulmates still has jokes and it still has humor, but it's more dramatic. I guess that it suits me because I've never liked sticking with one thing. So having an anthology show, I think my brain works better when there's 300 different things to do.
Right.
Then I think if you said to me you can only write one script and you have to focus on that, I'd cry and it would be a shit script. It would never get done. But if you said you got to write four scripts, then I'd be like, fine.
Again, I think when you're at working at that high of a level of writing and turning things around, it's your brain probably works in a very different way than other people's. I can kind of relate to it, but I can't. I don't know if I could, like, if I had to juggle this podcast and the frequency we're doing and like a whole other podcast that was in a totally different, I don't know if I could handle it. Something would suffer at some point. So, you know, it's amazing that you're able to see this success currently on two totally, again, I think it's a great story. It's a great journey to see. And the interesting part is while you've been in it for a while, a lot of people are just now starting to notice. So,
Now you get to watch the reaction really come in. Like, it's going to be really fun to see Soulmates roll out. Is that going to be weekly?
Yeah, that'll be weekly from October 5th.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope people love the soul-crushing Soulmates.
They're going to. Again, just the people who tune into Black Mirror and like the episodes that people really gravitate towards. I think if you're a fan of stuff like that, but you also love like actual love stories and romance and things like that, because again, it's I don't want to say it's Black Mirror and people thinking, oh, this is bad, and then some, like, you know, a monster comes in, like, you know, it's not that, you know, deep, but I mean, it is very, you know, it is very real, it is very serious.
A lot of people, I've talked to a lot of Black Mirror fans who call Be Right Back, the episode with Domhnall Gleeson, their favorite episode, so
it
lines
up
pretty well.
That's nice. Yeah, well, we kind of, other than it being, it's set 15 years in the future, just so that the idea of the test could be established enough in our world, but other than that, it's our world. And the only the only changes we've made is like cosmetic things, like what phones look like and how screens look. But beyond that, there's no flying car. It's like we tried to avoid it feeling like a science fiction show. It's not a science. I mean, it is, but it isn't a science fiction show. It's a show about modern relationships. Just set a little bit in the future.
Well, Brett, thank you for coming through. This was an amazing conversation. I really appreciate you taking the
thank
time
you
out.
So much. I really enjoyed hanging out with you both.
Awesome.
Really fun.
All right, man. Take care. Brett Goldstein, I want to thank you first. Actually, like listening to the podcast and coming back with questions. I kind of wish we had better responses, but again,
that was dope to hear.
It's amazing to hear.
I was not expecting that.
No, not at all. I think his brain works a little different. You can't be wired like everybody else and be able to maintain, you know, two new shows during a pandemic on, you know, two premier networks. Like there's something going on up there that's not normal.
He is killing it, and I gotta say, these are some of my favorite episodes. Like, you know, it's always great to get, like, the big guests, but I love getting someone who we can just talk, like, really nerd shit with. Like you said, when we rapped with him, like, you know, we talk about the science of acting, we talk about writer's rooms and concepting all that, we got into podcasting, like, he's really, you know, into this shit.
Yeah.
But it's also really dope to get someone on the cusp of what is clearly about to be a big run. Like, I think, especially in a year, you know, we made a joke about me being starved of Succession, and Sarah Snook is in the first episode of Soulmates, but in a year where people have been saying, like, oh, this is Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Where's Black Mirror? I think a show that has, you know, Black Mirror vibes, just vibes, you know, it's its own thing, but really interesting, and I think that show's really going to take off.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso is clearly taking off, and 100%. I think if you're an actor, writer, creator like Brett Goldstein, this is clearly just the beginning
of
what's going to be a crazy run. So it's always dope to get people, you know, right on that crest.
And I also hope, I don't know if they're out there, I've not heard about it, but I hope that there's a portion of our audience that has aspirations to be a writer or an actor or a director or a producer, what have you. These conversations are gold. I mean, you know, there's no better way to understand how these jobs actually work than, you know, speaking to people who are, and it's not like, again, this is a totally, it's the new normal and it's totally abnormal. So understanding, you know, you're going to be on Zoom calls with, you know, famous stars and not know, you know, if you're going to be able to talk to them, right? Or you're going to have to juggle two shows that have just been renewed working, you know, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
Talking about inspiration, I'm about to like stay here and get on final draft.
He about to pull out the word processor and get this script popping. I guess I should let you go. Oh, shouts out to anybody who's been rocking with us and anybody continuing to rock with us. We always appreciate your love. Watch Less drops every Wednesday morning. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. Please like, comment, rate, subscribe, all that shit. Boost the signal. The more we can hear from you and that you're fucking with us, the more we can give you guys some dope content. So please just, you know, just keep letting people know that you're rocking with Watch Less. At Complex Pop on Twitter and Instagram is where you can find us. Please get in the conversation. For the Summer Man, I'm Cal, advising you as always to wear a goddamn, again, Brett Goldstein's going to the theater to see Tenet. He's shook and he's going to be masked up. He might rock a couple of masks just to be on the safe side. Six feet distance. The other thing is, if you're going to the movie theater, I don't care how many seats they say in between y'all. You might need to just go to the corner or go to somewhere just so you can feel safe. Cause I don't want y'all contracting no nonsense with being. Never. I'll shut up. Tune in and watch Love. Peace. Watch Less is hosted by Fraser Tharp and myself, Cal. Our producer is Taliba Newman. Our associate producer and sound engineer is Jasmine Plata. Our editor is Tyler Boltheis. Our production manager is Chancel Correa. Our talent booker is Anthony Allred. Our junior booker is Austin Bailey. Our director of talent relations is Kristen Price Harrell. Senior director of operations is Jen Stewart. The Watch List is a part of the Complex Podcast Network.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.